Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to the Silver Screen and Roll post-game show. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, are you ready for my evening?
I feel like there's no... You tease this up a lot before the show, but like I feel like there's no way it can have been worse than what the Lakers just put most of the people listening to this right now through.
Guarantee you it could.
All right, well, I guess let's hear it.
So, Lakers are down by 20. Heading into the fourth quarter, our dog nudges the back door open, the door from our back porch, and Jen goes, "Do you smell that?" And I go, "Oh my God." And we both realize, oh shit, she just got sprayed by a skunk. So yeah, I will go ahead and say that my night was worse than even the person recapping this game. I'm sorry, Christian, but my night was worse.
So did you even see the fourth quarter? Like what? Was this at halftime or going into the fourth?
I tried to watch as much as I possibly could. I watched all of the run because during that, while the Lakers were making their run, Jen had to rush to Walgreens to pick up the stuff that you need to wash your dog in this kind of a moment to get as much of
like
it out
tomato
as possible.
Juice, right?
No, it's like this like combination of these few things. Dog owners would know. And so she's out doing that. The Lakers go on their run. KCP misses his three-pointer. I'm not kidding. I tweeted out, that felt like the dagger. KCP missing that shot felt like that was it. That was
the
chance.
Play-by-play-wise it was. I don't think they made another play after that. I think that was the final, like that really was like the end of the run. And then the Nuggets took care of it, obviously, but.
Jen walks in and she goes, how are we doing? And I said, well, we were down by 20 heading into the fourth and we pulled all the way within 17. KCP could have hit a three to tie, but he missed a wide open shot that he put a good stroke on, by the way.
And look, you know, KCP like, was good tonight. KCP was not the problem.
Oh yeah, I don't mean to blame him. I don't mean to blame him at all. They aren't in that situation in the first place if he doesn't hit some of the shots that he's been hitting. But like, because some people were like, no, Kuzma's shot was a dagger. And it's like anybody who watched Kuzma play today couldn't have expected him to make that shot. But yeah, there was Jen walked
especially
back
when
in.
He hesitated on it.
Oh yeah, it was just he didn't want to
like,
shoot.
It was like the second he pump faked, and then it wasn't really a pump fake. It was just him considering whether or not he wanted to shoot it. Like, I was like, oh yeah, there's no chance on that one.
Yeah, there was a play earlier while the Lakers were making their run that actually it was a perfect play for him to just step into a trailer three pointer in semi transition, and he tried to get to the rim, and I think he got fouled or missed a shot or something. Yeah, he missed a floater that frustrated me because AD did that thing he was doing all game where he was, you know, asking the referee for fouls on the offensive rebounds. It was like, dude, we're 46 minutes into the game. You're not going to get that goddamn foul. But anywho, the Lakers, as you guys probably watched, the Lakers lose 114 to 106. They are now up 2-1 on the Denver Nuggets. There is a lot to get to throughout this game that extends well beyond my skunk-filled evening.
Well, I was going to say, it's a good sign for your marriage that Jen came home and her first question was, how are the Lakers doing? Because if she had been her first words are like, all right, get in here. Like, because, you know, you made her leave the house that she bought, like, in the middle of the night and to go get.
Well, like, we bought.
that she bought to, you know, that your doctor wife paid for as she financed your career. Like, you know, you made her go get the skunk supplies so that you could watch a basketball game. I'm assuming did not pay any attention to your infant daughter or send
her with
Jen.
That's not true. I have been, so we got started on this a little bit later because I had to run around the house and scatter coffee grounds. Did you know that coffee grounds help with bad smells?
I did not know that. That actually makes intuitive sense to me because they're very strong smelling. But
yeah, so well, what's nice is that it's like strong smelling, but it doesn't leave residual smell. So that's why coffee grounds really helped her. Today's show brought to you by coffee grounds. Probably not, but we'll see. Jen gets home and I basically the Lakers. This was while Denver went on the run to eventually extend the game beyond reach for the Lakers. I was just kind of like half watching because I was running all over the house trying to put the coffee grounds in places where we could. My parents are showing up to the house tomorrow, dude.
Callie just wanted to really give them a nice welcome.
Welcome home, guys. So that was the last couple minutes of the game to me. But once KCP missed that shot, I kind of had a feeling it was pretty much over. One of the things Phil Jackson's actually really kind of hammered into my brain, and I thought this applied to the first comeback that the Lakers tried to make, because they were down by like 18 earlier in the game, was that it takes an exorbitant amount of energy to try to come back into a game like this one against a playoff team in a Western Conference Finals, whatever kind of situation. You can't come back from that game and then waste opportunities to fully get over the hump. And that's how I felt before the fourth quarter actually happened. And then we saw it all over again in the fourth. But I kind of want to start with what I thought got the Lakers into that spot in the first place with multiple double-digit deficits. And it's this weird thing on the internet where you cannot say that LeBron James plays bad.
Is that a thing?
It's illegal. Okay. You cannot say that, like, yes, he finished with a 30-point triple-double and he was LeBron James.
And he was incredible in the fourth quarter. To be as fair as possible to him.
But for five straight quarters, looked very pedestrian.
Yes.
Very pedestrian. And that dates back to the last half of last game, first three quarters of this one. That's five straight quarters of basketball that he didn't look very good. And to me, like he looked better in the fourth quarter when the Lakers were playing a more up and down game. But even there in the fourth, when it slowed down because Denver started making shots and stuff, you get into the half court and he can't do anything in the half court because he just refuses to shoot three pointers. He only shoots four times from 3-point range in tonight's game, has been given it for the last five quarters. And I'm not kidding, man. If his shot doesn't turn around or if he doesn't start to look more confident in shooting that shot, that's where, if you're looking for ways that the Lakers lose the series, that's where it starts.
Well, I think like one thing that I would point out is like, you know, he probably shot, I would say, too many threes and too many jumpers in general in game two. And so I wonder how much of that was an adjustment, like just like that was consciously them watching film and saying, hey, like you can't just settle like that the whole game. We almost blew the game like that, because like there was one play in the fourth quarter as they were making that run where he was trying to get switches onto Jokic and MPJ and like really attack those matchups. Yeah. And he was really good getting to the rim on those. And there was one play where he got the switch on Jokic and he did that thing where he was like dribbling. And I'm like, okay, he's going to take the three. He's just trying to get Jokic to take a step back first. Mm-hmm. And then he actually blew right by him and got to the rim for a layup. And I was like, oh, wow. Like he's actually like showing some burst. But like, you know, obviously when that is not working and when the refs are calling the game with, I think, a fairly light whistle tonight, like they were really not calling a whole lot of fouls, like on physical contact and stuff. I felt like it was fairly even both ways. I know Lakers fans felt differently and Nuggets fans felt differently in the fourth quarter, but just watching it, I haven't looked at the foul numbers yet. I felt
I'm looking at free throw totals. It's 29 free throws for Denver to 22 free throws to the Lakers. So it's not
So that's not ridiculous. Yeah. And I mean, who would have thought that we would get more Denver free throws in this series than we would Lakers ones, especially after the first game and all the
when Jokic flops it like every light breeze and he gets
does
the benefit
he
of
does get away with a lot of that. Good I was Lord. Making fun of Clippers fans a little bit about the complaining about the hooking, but it's like now after watching three games of it, like, I mean, it is a little sore grapes, but I kind of get what where you're coming from.
How do you I'm sidebar. How do you handle talking about refereeing? Because for me, I don't like complaining about like there is no.
I think most of the time sure it evens way. Out. That's why I don't like to That's why I don't like to harp on it game to game, because I feel like most of the time, like Nuggets fans felt like they got a crappy whistle in game one. I think the Lakers would probably argue that they got a crappy whistle in game two, especially some of those quick fouls on Dwight. I thought tonight was mostly even, but like they did look, they let Jokic get away with a lot.
He had four fouls on the night. A lot of those picked up in the fourth quarter. And actually, this is where the reason I bring up, like, how do you talk about fouling? Because I don't like bringing it up, because it's like you're going to sound like a homer.
Yeah.
You're going to sound like a loser.
Right? This like is how we get clipped, like screaming like, ah, Caruso, average players, Jeremy Grant.
He was fantastic.
Yes,
but
he was.
I want to pick up on that conversation and turn from like whining about the refereeing, which I wasn't particularly thrilled with how they refereed it. There were stretches where they were calling everything. There were stretches where they were letting everything go. It's kind of like in a baseball game where you just give me, I know that we don't have robot umpires. I know the strike zone can be an amoeba, but it's got to be a consistent amoeba. And I felt like there were some stretches in tonight's game where for both teams, I think both teams have gripes, where what was called earlier in the game wasn't being called, and then all of a sudden it started getting called again.
That's the other thing, is like the bubble, the refs have been on one the whole bubble, and like they've just been brutal, like all bubble for every team, like, you know, and so like that's why I have a hard time. Like that's what, again, like I come back to, like I feel like it evens out most of the time, even if both teams definitely have legitimate gripes.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is when it comes to, if it gets to a game seven, the Lakers are going to get an incredible whistle. So that's
true. They'll get like 40 free throws in 20 or something like that. Like,
but I actually do have a point regarding the refereeing in this one. Not talking about the referees themselves, but actually how the Lakers approach how they're going to get refereed.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
And I thought. In like the first three quarters, the Lakers were going out of their way to not get fouls called on them. And in the fourth quarter, Rondo especially was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to start wailing on people.
Rondo's like, I'm going to punch Jamal Murray and see how many times I can get away with it.
And so here's what I'm saying. I don't think throwing like literal haymakers. Like we always talk about haymakers in a basketball game, but throwing literal haymakers on defense.
Rondo hallucinated that was Chris Paul for a brief moment. Like
it was like, I likened it to, we're both older siblings. And I know you weren't much of an athlete, you know, too much growing up, but how dare you?
I was an athlete growing up. It's after all my back injuries. I lost it. I was an athlete growing up. This is offensive.
I can't picture you as an athlete ever. I'm sorry. You're wearing a fedora, glasses, and a handlebar mustache.
I'll show you pictures. People forget high school Harrison was a bucket.
I know you were thicker at one point, but I don't see you as like a athlete. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, what was your point about the officials?
You aren't very coordinated. Like, is that a back related thing? Your lack of hand eye coordination?
Well, it's come from not exercising or playing sports due to the back thing. So it's like, you know, chicken or egg.
But anywho, any older brother will tell you, yourself included, I guess, that when you're playing against your sibling and it gets down to the nitty gritty and it's like you're playing a game of 21 and it's, you know, 19 all and your brother has the ball. Let's just say...
Maybe sometimes you shove
you
them to the
a little bit.
Yeah.
You start playing a little more physically. And I thought that's how Rondo basically was. It's like, all right, it's 19-all. It's game point. Whoever scores the next bucket's going to win this game. So it's the approach that every And it's, I don't even think it's older siblings. Like, uncles do this with kids when they're playing. Parents do this with kids when it looks like they're going to lose their first game ever to their kid. That's how things go. And I thought, while I don't think Rondo's approach overall is very sustainable, I do think the Lakers just playing more physically and putting the onus on the referees to call it all the time. Like, I think Dwight is getting into foul trouble every single game because he's the only guy who is really playing that physically with anybody.
Yeah.
But the Lakers have such a physical advantage on this team that if they really put the onus on the referees, like the Seattle Seahawks used to do this as a defense, where it was just, it was the Legion of Boom, and they would pass interfere on every play, and they would hold off the line, and they would, coming across the middle was basically like asking for a concussion. And eventually the referees just said, like, we can't call everything. And I do think this is one way that the Lakers could maybe adjust a little bit is just play more physically across the board, so Dwight's physicality doesn't necessarily stick out so much.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a great point. I think the other thing that they can do that kind of like feeds into that a little bit is that, like, I mean, Anthony Davis, like, I know everybody's going to go at him like soft, whatever, like for the rebound stuff. I think he only had two tonight and had like zero for a large
no
chunk
offensive
of the game.
Rebounds.
Yeah, like he was not good tonight. And like I don't want to make this like a point about like his manhood or something like that or have it come off like that. But like he was whining. You mentioned it earlier, but he was whining a lot to the officials tonight. And like there were a lot of times where he was like he was trying to get a call. Like you kind of alluded to it. But like at some point, you have to just play the whistle as it is. And like Dwight got into the opposite problem the last game where like he didn't tone it down when the refs were calling it really quick. And like it ended up getting him out of that game at a lot of points. Mm-hmm. And tonight I thought that he was a little bit better about towing the line, even if he still picked up some like cheap ones. But that's going to come with the territory of how he's playing.
Well, Dwight's supposed to pick up fouls.
Exactly. So like that's not that big of a deal. But like I think that for Anthony Davis, like at some point you have to adjust to the game that they're calling and stop like just like flailing around on offense trying to get these calls and like just take it to the basket. You know, like they were getting him the ball on the move and getting him like an opportunity to get to the basket and make shots. And he was like, there were so many times tonight where it seemed like he was determined to like do the Kevin Durant rip through or like lean into the contact and like take the hit on the shoulder and then put it up at the like and knocked at the call. Like at some point you have to stop forcing it and you have to, you know, to steal a Byron Scottism, like you got to man up, you know,
kind of do. No, yeah. I mean, we can poke fun at Byron or whatever, but
yeah,
I think
not to make it a general thing.
This is
like,
this is the one. Okay, yeah, we don't. You're right.
Yeah,
I understand why you would say that here.
Yeah, I was being facetious about the man up thing. I just mean like in this, like he has to like play through that, and he has to adjust to the game that they're calling and play a little tougher.
I'm not being facetious. This is the one moment where Byron's coaching strategy would have actually been sufficient, where he just tells AD, dude, sack up. What are you doing? Stop leaning in for fouls. Stop doing this. Stop. And where I thought it was super, like, people are going to point to the fact that he only had the two rebounds in last night's game. And I think this is actually where, like, offensively it really stands out when he has the ball. But actually where it hurts the team the most is when he isn't getting those rebounds. The Lakers have all year feasted off of creating extra opportunities and doing all these things on the offensive boards to stop teams from getting out in transition. But when AD is doing that thing every time down on offense where he's like getting his arm intentionally entangled with the other, with the defender and going, hey, when he doesn't get the board or whatever, it's like, no, Anthony, you are a foot taller than Jerami Grant. Get up there and get a damn rebound, you know?
Yeah, that's, just like at some point, like trying to win outside of the game, like can take you away from just winning with the actual advantages you have. Yeah, like he outsmarted himself essentially tonight. Yeah. I felt like, and like, you know, like he wasn't good. LeBron wasn't good until, like, neither of them were good until that fourth quarter. And I think the Lakers can maybe take something from that. But, you know, it's unfortunate that they had to lose to do it.
Yeah, let's take a quick second here. Let's come back and talk about the things that the Lakers can take from this moving forward and how we see this series, whether it's changed because it's 2-1, how we feel about this thing moving forward.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
One number that really kind of stands out to me, so Paul Millsap was a game high plus 11, but Mason Plumlee was a plus 10, and I just think that's if you're JaVale McGee, or if you're Markieff Morris was a game worst minus 13. Rondo tied him for minus 13, but.
That's one of those cases where, like, I don't know that plus minus effect, like, is fully indicative of, like, value. I mean, I guess Rondo was really bad the first three quarters, so maybe that's
pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty crazy. He had to have been like at one point in this game, I think he had to have been like a negative,
like 30 or something. Yeah, I'm gonna have some fun with that NBA with that box score tomorrow. I'll get back to you. Like,
but Mason Plumlee, like, the Nuggets can't win those minutes. Like, they can't. Because usually if Plumlee is out there, he shares some minutes with Jokic, but for the most part, he's out there just to hang on for dear life while they wait for Jokic to get back out there. And I think if Denver is winning those Mason Plumlee minutes, the Lakers might be in some trouble. And you know, I was looking at it, I was like, what went wrong for Morris? They have really focused on running him off the three-point line. And they are really focused on running Danny Green off the three-point line. I don't think they particularly care about Kyle Kuzma.
Man, hold on. Before you move on to Kuz, I just got to say, I have been one of Danny Green's bigger defenders throughout this year. Like, I think that a lot of the times he doesn't get enough credit for, like, what he actually brings on defense and how, like, big of a part he is of that as, like, a team thing and a team concept and, like, just the entire team success, basically. But... like, oh man, was he bad? Like, you said that you had a bad night. Like, honestly, the only person that may have had a worse night than you having to watch this game and clean up, like, after your dog got skunked, essentially, was, like, Danny Green, who played like he got skunked tonight. Like,
well, I may or may not be hoping that Danny Green gets sprayed by a skunk on his way back to the hotel.
Okay, that's uncalled for. Nobody deserves that. Not your dog does not deserve that. You don't even deserve that. Like,
here's the thing about Danny Green that is so maddening is that, like, we have gone from with Danny Green thinking, like, you would think, given how much he's paid, when he's open, you're like, all right, that's bottom.
It's like, he's overpaid, but you can count on him to hit those shots. There was one point in the second quarter where he missed two wide open corner threes in a row.
Yeah, and you're just and it's reached the point where Danny catches the ball open from 3-pointer and you're like,
and even he does the little sigh and like, oh no, like, should I shoot this? And like, we saw him tonight throw, like, I mean, we know that, like, Danny Green is not a good lob passer, and he threw one of the worst ones I've ever seen to LeBron tonight, and the Lakers somehow still scored on that possession. But like, when Danny Green is out open behind the 3-point line and he's throwing lobs and like, he's, you know, pump faking and then like driving into the basket and trying to throw a kick out pass, like stuff like that, like when it's just not necessary, he's like trying to do anything other than take a three. Like, and then also, like, he wasn't even good defensively tonight, I didn't think. Like, I thought the whole team was bad on that end, but he didn't necessarily help things. And, like, that was a fairly irredeemable game from Danny Green. And, like, I'm not going to blame him for the loss. The whole team played bad. But, like, I know that, like, people are probably at the point, like, I know that I'm getting tweets. They're like, when is somebody going to criticize Danny Green? And it's like, well, I mean, tonight was probably the night to do it, because there are a lot of nights where he gives you some other stuff. And tonight he gave them absolutely nothing.
What was tough also for Green is that usually when he's in there, he just gives you spacing inherently because the defense has to pay attention to him. But in some of the lineups that he was out there, he was the only player who provides that spacing. So even there, his value is somewhat diminished. Because
and the Nuggets clearly don't respect him that much.
Yeah, it's definitely gone down too. It's
like they've scouted, you know, they've scouted his like playoffs at this point, and it's not like a like he's not getting the reputation closeouts anymore.
No, he's giving himself them. Like he's hoping to see them. He's running himself off the 3-point line. And I think we saw that. We've talked about that already with Kuzma. I don't think we saw that necessarily from Morris. He only played 11 minutes. So I don't know.
Yeah, I actually thought more like that plus minus was weird. Weird to me. Like I'd have to go and like watch his minutes or something. Like I thought he was okay. Like,
yeah. Well, I think for Morris, he has to play alongside Davis. Like he has to.
Did try him at the five, I believe, at one point tonight. Correct. Like,
right. But that only works if LeBron is playing like LeBron. When LeBron isn't getting to the rim the way that you anticipate LeBron being able to get to the rim, then more whatever spacing Morris brings to you as the five in those lineups doesn't really mean much, especially if the other two players on if you have Caruso and Rondo out there with which I don't think they had. But Caruso was also pretty brutal to watch in this game. He did some stuff defensively, but 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3-point range. And I think like we can talk about the minutia of the game as much as we want, but the Lakers aren't going to win any games where they shoot 23% from 3-point range. It's just never going to happen.
No, this is like it's a little bit like it's not quite the Portland game one because I thought they played like pretty well that game outside of their shooting. Like they got good shots, like they played good defense. They just like, you know, they got burned by Lillard and CJ anyway because they're good and they can do that. And like they did not even make like a passable amount of 3-pointers. And this wasn't that because the Lakers played with no heart for the first 3 quarters. But like honestly, this might be the worst loss of the playoffs so far, like out of the 3 series. Like I feel like game one against Portland was kind of excusable. Game one against the Rockets was bad, but like they had to adjust to their speed and they clearly did because they ran them off the court the next 4 games. Like this was the one where it was like, okay, it feels like maybe Denver has figured some things out this year, this series. Like I still think the Lakers are going to win, but Denver is like I've said this the whole time, like it's become almost a cliche, but like Denver is not going to roll over. Like the Lakers are going to have to beat them. They can't just I think that's honestly my theory on this, and you can let me know what you think, is like the reason that they are trash talking so much to Jokic is like Dwight and, you know, JaVale, and like, you know, we even saw like Rondo and Morris were talking a bunch of junk. Like the Nuggets talk for sure, like their bench talks, and so that like leads to some of that. But I also think the Lakers are trying to like mentally bully them a little bit too, because they know that this is not a team that's just going to roll over like Portland and like the Rockets did. And so like, I think that's been part of the reason for that. They've been so vocal,
some overcompensating.
I mean, honestly, the Lakers lost this game tonight when Dwight was sitting on the bench for like the entire first quarter yelling at Jokic that like, I'm Batman and I'm coming for you, Joker. It's like, Dwight, you're not in the game, Dwight. Like that. Number one, that is stupid. Like as like a line of trash talk.
Actually, number two, that is stupid. Number one, why is he on the bench?
Well, that is another thing. I think that we are going to see the Frank like start Dwight the next game. I feel like this gave him the full excuse. He already did it for the second half. That's 2 second halves in the series where he started Dwight. He clearly thinks he's better for this matchup and just was trying to see if they could get by. And I thought JaVale was okay tonight. It's just Dwight is such a clearly better option against Jokic.
I do wonder if that dynamic changes a little bit with Dwight playing starter minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it does complicate things. And like, okay, if Dwight gets in foul trouble as a starter, then all of a sudden, like, what are you? You're digging JaVale back out, or are you like, are you risking AD foul trouble, or what are you doing? Like, you got to make sure that JaVale stays ready and doesn't like disengage too, if you decide to go that route, just in case.
Yeah. I wanna talk about if we saw anything sustainable from that run, or was it just Denver letting their foot off the gas? Because we know Denver's foot isn't going to come off the gas for that long again. So did we see anything from the Lakers other than getting out in transition, which has been the number one thing that the Lakers have relied upon in the postseason to this point, getting stops and getting out in transition? But did you see anything beyond that the Lakers might be able to build off of in game 4?
I mean, they played zone. So, like, I think, like, that, while that's, like, has a reputation as a gimmicky defense, it's, like, teams have played zone with success at times this year. And I do think that it kind of messed up Denver's flow a little bit. Like, they just kind of quite, like, they weren't expecting it. They weren't quite prepared for where to go and how to cut and, like, how to beat that, like, with that specific lineup and what to do to beat a zone. And it seemed like they kind of figured it out as the quarter went along. But I don't know, like, maybe that's something that you can bust out to, like, junk them up a little bit at times during this series and go to it, like, maybe once or twice a game, like just for like a 3-minute stretch or something, and see if you can throw off whatever lineup's out there if it's not that same one that closed that game. But like, I mean, to be honest, I think it was just like, it was number one, it was engaging more and playing harder. And I think it was playing with a little bit more like force and like hand speed and really trying to get in passing lanes and stuff like that. Like, I mean, beyond that, like, I just, this is oversimplification, but I feel like it was mostly just effort. I don't know if you feel differently.
Actually, I really agree. I mean, that's one of the things you and I DM'd about when Dwight was in there the first time, right? Was how there was a lot of hand-wringing. Oh, Dwight, just play basketball. Just do this, just do that. And you and I were both sitting there like, actually, the Lakers, I mean, really need somebody to come out there and like, pop some stuff up. Like, they were, I thought Dwight came out there with a purpose. And whereas the Lakers to that point hadn't really played with a purpose. So,
you know, he really energized them. The only reason they were like, it was a miracle that they were only down by 10 at the half. They got their asses kicked in that first half. And like, it was Dwight's energy that brought them back. Not even always while he was on the floor. Some of it continued like afterwards. They just had kind of woken up. And like, you know, I feel like starting the game with that and kind of messing with Jokic early, like rather than kind of letting him get going and letting him bait JaVale into fouls and like, you know, just kind of get a rhythm, like, you know, it's worth a shot at least.
Do you does this outcome affect the way that you feel this series? You already mentioned you still think the Lakers are going to win this thing, but do you think it goes longer than you might have envisioned in the first place, or how does this outcome here, losing 114 to 106, change how your view on the series?
I said Lakers in five, and I'm honestly going to stick with that. I just feel like this is a good matchup for them. Like, the only thing is like the LeBron stuff is starting to concern me a little bit, that he's not like locking in for these entire games. I'm starting to wonder, is the groin bugging him? Is it a fatigue thing? Like, again, I don't want to get clipped as the guy who like inspired the next Wash King meme or something. But like, you know, throughout the playoffs, his field goal percentage is dropping as the game goes along. I think there's a little bit of context to that. Like, obviously, defenses make it tougher. He takes those heat check threes. Like, there's a little bit of small sample size over 8-game wonkiness kind of there to that stat. But like, I think that, like, I mean, look, he clearly has not, these last two games has not engaged for the entire game. And we saw that some during the regular season, but like, you know, at some point the Lakers are going to need playoff LeBron. You know what I mean? Like we could talk about playoff Rondo, playoff Dwight, you know, like playoff AD hitting the game winner, like
playoff Fagan.
Playoff Fagan, you know, they're going to need playoff LeBron at some point. I really tried to activate playoff mode and use my Dame Time powers for good tonight. I called game with like with the entire fourth quarter left. And then I continued, even as they were going on the run, to tweet, there's no chance. They can't come back. It's too late. Like, I really was trying to fuel them into that and do a reverse Dame Time. And like, I just couldn't get it done at the end, you know?
Here's my thing. I think in years past, LeBron could access playoff LeBron no matter what else was going on around the court around him. I think it didn't matter. I think he was so strong. He was so fast. He was just a different player. This is a different stage of his career. And he needs shooters to be able to access playoff LeBron. He needs clearer paths to the basket.
To be playing in a smaller lineup where, like, even if it's not like shooters, he's at least being defended by someone a little bigger or like whatever it may be.
Well, because we saw what he did. Like, his eyes lit up when he was finally guarded by Jokic.
He really was trying to get that MPJ switch too, which was very funny. He really wanted to like welcome the rookie to the NBA a little bit.
Well, but I think that's something that he might kind of, if you're looking for film, you know, stuff to study on film. I think the way that he hunted Jokic on that play, I found very interesting. Because especially, it's one thing in a game like game two, where AD very clearly has it going and can take Jokic himself.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron saw that AD didn't necessarily have it.
No, AD was out of gas in that foot. Like, there was a possession towards the end where LeBron had to wait for him to get up court. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. AD, I can relate. I mean, that's me at the start of the game.
Look, he's a big dude, and they've been running those, like, this entire playoffs. Like, he, you know, I think there might be a little bit of a fatigue factor here. That's not an excuse. It's just a reality. Like, that's not to excuse what they did tonight. It's just, like, that may be a physical thing that they are having to deal with and get through.
But I think, so we know that just getting out and running isn't particularly sustainable because Mike Malone has done a very good job hammering into his team, get back in transition at all costs and force the Lakers to play in the half court. Yes. If the referees call, like, the worst the Lakers are going to look over any stretch of from here on out, really, the worst they're going to look is when the referees start calling a tighter game, because that forces them to play in the half court. That's really going to be something to focus on. But if they do start playing in the half court, I do think LeBron isn't just going to just go out and attack Jeremy Grant. He's not just going to go out and attack Paul Millsap. He's going to really focus on get in big possessions. Get me Nikola Jokic. Get me Michael Porter Jr. I don't even think he wants smaller players, because the small players can get in front of him and he's getting called for charges and stuff. But I think what he wants is give me a few shooters on the court and then somehow find a way to have Jokic or Porter Jr. or really that's about it. Give me those two guys in space, because Plumlee doesn't play long enough to make this a sustainable thing to attack. Give me those guys in space. And that's how I'm going to try to attack in the half court when AD doesn't have it going. I think it's pretty clear that LeBron is relying on AD in the half court, and LeBron is doing his work in transition.
Yeah.
But if you can, if he has to, if he has to be playoff LeBron in the half court, I think that's the way he's going to have the most success.
Yeah, they need to go to that AD LeBron pick and roll more and really try and get Jokic onto him, because not only, like, that's going to tire Jokic out too. And, like, you know, if we're seeing AD is tired from this pace, like, you can foul, or you can like get Jokic tired and get him in foul trouble, like you just said. Like, so I think there's a lot of benefits to really hunting that matchup, and the Lakers really need to try and make it happen. And, like, if that forces, like if Denver goes into like some shenanigans to really avoid that, then, like, all of a sudden that creates other advantages in other areas. So, like, it's a win-win. And I think that you really have to try and force the issue there with LeBron, because, like, you know, like, the Lakers, they just need more from him. Again, like, his box score looks fine tonight. Like, he shot efficiently because he got out on the break for all those runs and, like, whatever. Like, he did not really play like LeBron until the fourth quarter.
LeBron himself would say that wasn't a great game for him.
Yeah, no, he blamed him after the game. While you were talking at one point, I was listening, but I was also scrolling through Twitter just to see what the guy said. And, like, he blamed himself for the turnovers tonight. Like, you know, and, like, so I think, like, he is a guy that is going to be, like I saw Matt Moore, you know, your friend Matt Moore, and my friend, but, like, mostly your friend, the Angers Laker fans, Matt Moore, tweeting, like, we're getting a LeBron performance for the ages in game four. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. The Lakers really need that guy to show up for at least one game in this series to, like, if they want it to be quick. If they don't, then it's going to go a little longer, because they just need more from him. And again, like, I apparently we're not allowed to criticize LeBron according to your mentions, but, you know, like, he was not great tonight. He was great in the fourth quarter, but they came up short. And, like, if they would have, I said this on Twitter, if they would have played with 90% of that effort, even probably 80% of the effort they showed in the fourth quarter for the entire game tonight, they probably would have won in a blowout.
Yeah, here's my thing. When I say LeBron is playing poorly,
it's by his standards.
It's exactly. Like, I shouldn't have to keep saying, like, by LeBron standards. We understand what his standard is. Like, he understands what his standard is. Like, it
does, look, the last time, if I say, the last time that LeBron, you really went after LeBron was last year, and you started the Wash King meme, like, inadvertently. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like, maybe you need to start tweeting more meme things about him.
You know, he just got blocked by Mario Hezonja. Like, that's, of course I said something in that moment.
I mean, say some meaner things. Like, go on Twitter. Like, he just got shut down by Nikola Jokic. Just, like, fuel that. Like, we need to start thinking, you know, we need to, like, outsmart the Nuggets on this and, like, really just kind of, like, fuel LeBron's motivation by tweeting slanderous things about him. I think that's, like, where we need to go.
What could go wrong?
You, though. Like, not me. I'm not going to do it because I still have to talk to him sometimes. When I say we, I mean just you.
I like we. I mean anybody but me. We, yeah. as in
we, as in there. Just Anthony.
Anthony is, yeah, is what you were saying.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I do want to. I do want to say, like, we mentioned him briefly at the beginning of the show. Like, I want, like, shout out to KCP because I really thought that he brought it, like, for pretty much all game and played pretty well. And, like, you know, he is a guy that is a GOAT and not in the greatest of all time ways a lot of the time for the Lakers fans. And he's played really well outside of game one in Portland. Yeah, like, he was really good tonight. And, like, he deserves credit for that, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's really arguable. I think he's been their third best player since the playoffs have started. You can talk about playoff Rondo, but mostly that's relative to your expectations. You can maybe point to Dwight in games one and two kind of getting under Jokic's skin, but that's only two games.
Rondo Rondo was their best player against Houston, or third best player, not best player. Their third best player against Houston. I think Dwight has probably been it, like, in terms of impactful in this series, but KCP has been it for the entirety of the playoffs, like, because he played a huge role against Portland, again, was really good against Houston, and has continued it in this series.
When he goes up for 3-point shots, I find myself thinking, fuck, why can't I feel as confident about a KCP or about a Danny Green 3 as I feel about a KCP 3? You know?
Yeah, man. Like,
would
not have predicted, like, that last year.
When I know. When he missed that, and again, I say this relative to expectations, and at this point the expectation is that he was gonna hit it. But you just saw him, the way it worked out, it lined up perfectly where he was right in between the camera and the basket. So you had a really good angle on that last 3-pointer. And I found myself, like, leaning just a little to my left. Like, come on, come on, come on, come on, get over to the left, get over. And it never really got over to the left. And it wound up going in and out. It was a good stroke on the shot. And that's really all I want to see from Danny Green and even Kyle Kuzma is, like, give me a confident shot. Give me a confident stroke. Like, that's all I want is just show some confidence from 3-point range. And to this point, Kuzma, I kind of understand. This is his first time here. He's always been a streaky guy. Danny Green, what the hell are you being paid to do, bud? What are you here for?
Yeah, man.
It's like the Office Space move. So what exactly is it that you do here? You know, that's Danny Green. I mean, maybe we'll get an explanation in a podcast, but to this point, that's about all he's provided thus far. Has been pretty good podcasting. Look,
he's been better than people have given him credit for, I think, a lot of times this year. Like, I think he's done a lot of thankless work on defense during this entire playoff run. He was really bad tonight, and, like, he's just got to be better. Like, he's got to give them something, you know? Like, if he's not going to hit shots, he's got to give them defense, or, like he's got to make some type of positive impact. Or, you know, he's going to be on the bench, like, when they were closing this game out. And, like, he's the third highest paid player. He's sitting on the bench as they're closing out, like, a playoff game. Like, this was the time of year that when he was doing that during the regular season, it's like, they're self-load managing him. They're saving him for the playoffs. Like, he has another gear that he can hit. Like, I want to see it, you know?
I mean, it needs to be pointed out that this was the situation in Toronto down the stretch of their finals run too.
He was hurt. Like, I don't fully take that into account because he was genuinely, like, playing injured during that.
But there were stretches where he was healthy and this was the case. Like,
maybe you're right.
I mean, because I work for the Locked On Network, there are some Raptors fans that I still follow, or the people who work on that show, Locked On Raptors, and they never felt all that comfortable with Green.
Locked On Rappers would be a very different show.
It's just Dame.
Yeah.
Dame finally got a show. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Silver Screen and Roll podcast.
Before we leave, everyone just stop worrying, because AD just said in his post game presser, we'll be fine. So, you know, crisis averted, everybody. They're good. You know, they're in the driver's seat.
I have to go search the grounds of my house for a skunk carcass. Yeah, I'll be freaking fine. Thanks, AD. 114 to 106 is your final of this Lakers loss. They fall. They are now 2-1. They have a 2-1 lead over the Nuggets in this seven game series. Hopefully it doesn't go all the way to seven. I think it's going to be a six gamer now. I thought five before this, but the way that they lost this makes me a little more nervous. I think we're going to go six.
I mean, if they're smart, they got to tank next game because you can't take a 3-1 lead against 3-1. The Nuggets. You got to let them tie it up and then take your chances from there.
Yep, exactly. You heard it from Harrison. Just reverse jinx the hell out of the hell out of the Lakers during the whole next game.
I'll just tweet like Lakers are going to be unstoppable. LeBron's going to drop 50 tonight. Are you guys kidding me? Like,
have a great rest of your day. We will be back, or not we, but somebody from this godforsaken channel will be back in some.
great closer, Anthony. All right, we will see all of you tomorrow. Someone will be
I'm
here
so in angry at the way place tonight
after
went.
I fire I, him. So that'll do it for this episode of the Silver
Damn
Screen
you,
Roll
Danny Green. Show. This is awful.